Joseph had a plan. Joseph had it all figured out. Joe had made the decision that he was going to marry a young woman named Mary. And he figured out that they would live in the small town of Nazareth. His little town of Nazareth was tight-knit, where we might say everyone knew everyone. And everyone went to synagogue for Sabbath, and they lived their Jewish faith out during the week in the little town of Nazareth. You see, Nazareth in the first century was Mayberry. He was engaged to a fine Jewish girl from a good Jewish family, and like his, went all the way back. They could trace her genealogy all the way back to King David. One time, Joseph and Mary were royalty. It was the plan. And it was, from his eyeballs, a really good plan for a simple man. My friends, how many of you are plan makers? You make a plan, and you expect the plan to happen the way the plan is supposed to happen. Maybe you have career plans. Maybe you have vacation plans. Maybe today, as I watch the news, they talked about people trying to get home for Christmas on planes. A plan, as they sit in the airport, really agitated because the plan isn't doing what it's supposed to do. Maybe you have plans for tonight. One plan was to be here, but then there's the plan afterwards, and maybe the plan for tomorrow. Maybe you're this. Maybe you're a list maker. Anybody in here a list maker? Yes, thank you for the four that raised their hands. You like to make a list, which is another way of making the plan. And you like, and some of us who are compulsive, obsessive, you make the list and then you check it off. And if you're super compulsive, obsessive, you take a highlighter and you highlight it as you mark it off the list. After all, it's Christmas, and there's a lot to do and a long list. You'll remember this quote. It comes from 1934. It's a very, very famous quote, which you have heard. I promise you, you have heard this quote. You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. Anybody heard this? I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Santa is compulsive, obsessive. Yes, everyone has a list. We all have a plan. And God has a plan. Would you say that phrase with me again? And God has a plan. God has a plan. Joseph and Mary's lives were going to be interrupted. Their life was going to be challenged. Joseph is described in our reading tonight in verse 19. It says that Joseph is a righteous man. And if you go to Luke chapter 2, the angel Gabriel meets Mary and says in chapter 2, "You who are highly favored." Wouldn't that be a nice introduction? An angel appears to you, "You who are highly favored." This was a faithful young couple with every intention of living out a quiet life in Mayberry, Nazareth. And then the angel Gabriel interrupted Mary's life. I expect when she knew she was definitely pregnant, she waited a bit of time before she talked to Joseph. Because an angel talks to you doesn't mean it really happened. And at some point, She has to tell. This is the conversation we never hear in Scripture, by the way. This one is never in Scripture. What did she say to her mom and dad? That one is not in Scripture. I don't think it went well. And how do we know it didn't go well? Because of Joseph. Because we do know what happened with Joseph. When Joseph was told, and look at this quote, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. This, I assure you, is not Joseph's plan. Everything changes. His focus is on one thing, and now the message is an unbelievable one. Mary is pregnant. He's done. Not his plan. And God has a plan. Say it with me. And God has a plan. How do you manage changes in your life? How do you manage them? When there's a change to the plan, how happy are you about that? How content are you with it? What do you do with the interruptions that happen in your life? Because we all confront interruptions in our plans, and we can really resent the changes. Goodness, Gail and I were driving in tonight from Whitmore Lake, and as we drove, I saw squad cars go, we're on 96, and squad cars go flying past us, and we had just gotten off 23, and I can see the cars, or the lights, you know, the whole thing that says, there is a problem ahead of us. And sure enough, we slowed down, and then I got scared. Because I have to be here, or Big Bob is preaching. Interruption in the plan. Maybe you've gotten to a point where you've resented how life has unfolded. It wasn't your plan, and you resented it, and you got angry about it. Maybe you are like Joseph. Maybe you're just like Joseph, who said it, and I'll put it in my American vernacular, because he would have said it in King James Version, and would have said, thee and thieth. Maybe you, like Joseph, would look up at heaven and go, God, really? This is the plan? My wife is pregnant? Except that we're just engaged? I'm not the dad? Joseph, we know from Matthew chapter 1, resents the interruption. He's angry about the interruption. He's going to break the engagement. He's going to move on with his life, crushed, devastated at what has happened. This good Jewish man who was faithful to the calling of God, and we know that because it tells us he was obedient to the law. It took, think about this, ladies and gentlemen, it took God interrupting him, an angel of the Lord interrupting him in a dream to change this stubborn Jewish man's plan. He was a stubborn man. Any of you have problems with the changes that happen? Maybe you're the stubborn one. Maybe you're the one that gets caught and gets stuck, and when the plan has to change, you don't know what to do with it, and you just get angry. The remarkable thing about Joseph is he gets it. And whatever happened in that dream, he did not forget the dream. He hears the message from the angel of the Lord. And by the way, if you read Matthew, and you read Matthew 1, 2, and 3, you're going to see that God came to him three different times in dreams and told him how to take care of Jesus. This was the first of the three. He gets it. He hears. And his heart changes. And he does this remarkable thing. He has to go back to Mary. And he has to say to Mary, you're right, I get it. An angel of the Lord appeared to me. And you are having a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit. And he loves Mary. And he loves this little baby. Isaiah chapter 7:14 says it this way. And was part of our hymn tonight. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call that child Emmanuel. It goes on in Isaiah, in our reading tonight from chapter 9, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Messiah, would carry those titles. And Isaiah, who preaches 500 years before Jesus is ever considered and is nowhere near around, is saying this is what the Messiah will be like. The Messiah, Jesus, will come and he will be with us and he will be the Prince of Peace. And please say this with me. And God has a plan. Let's say it together. I do want you to say it out loud. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen who are live streaming in your living rooms, I'm expecting you to say it as well. And let's say it together. And God has a plan. I'm struck by the word with in Emmanuel, where it says God with us. With means this. When you say you're with someone, with means in this text, in this understanding, means that you are intimately connected with that person. You are intimately aware. You are intimately attentive to what is being done. Emmanuel, God with us, means God is intimate to his people. Jesus being born as Messiah, Jesus born in a stable, Jesus laying there in the manger, Jesus born as any human being is born. God is intimate with his people. He has become aware of us and he wants to be aware of you and your life. I remember when my children were young and they wanted attention from their father and I would be watching TV. I had control of the remote and I still do. And I would be watching TV, and these little ones would come up to me calling my name, Dad, Dad, Daddy, and I would be attentive to what was on the screen. And I can remember them grabbing my face with their little hands, turning it to their little face, getting right up in my face, and they would say, Dad, listen to me. You see, that is Jesus. He's grabbing our cute little faces, He's grabbing them. And he's saying to these cute little faces, loving us, even to his own death and his own resurrection. And he says this, when we don't listen, hear this, my friends, when we don't listen, God still calls us. When we don't want to listen, he still loves us. And he yearns to be with us and to be part of our life. He does not abandon his children, but rather intervenes with his children and says, I will be with you and I will be part of your life. I will not abandon you. The Emmanuel, that title of God with us means God never stops being with us. We can turn our heads, we can walk away, but he never walks away. Emmanuel is with you. And God has a plan. Matthew 1 verse 24 says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. The whole focus of Joseph changed. God intervened. He intervened to be with Joseph, and Joseph knew it. His task, this man's task, was to raise this little baby. And he did it. He did it like any dad would do it. He did it to the best of his ability. So dads, I talk to you tonight, just do it to the best of your ability. Be a godly dad. Just do it to the best you can do it. Because I think we parents carry a lot of guilt. Think we should have done a little bit better. This dad does. And I think Joseph did too. I think Joseph probably asked the question of Mary more than once. Are we doing okay? After all, we got this little Jesus. Are we doing okay? We don't hear much of the Joseph after this story. So we get through chapter 1 and a bit in chapter 2. And then Joseph becomes notably quiet. We never hear about him. You see, Joseph lives life like any of us live life, just like you and me. He raises the little baby, and he watches that baby grow to a boy. And we know he was around in Luke, because when Jesus goes to the temple, Mary and Joseph are still there. So Jesus is about 12 years old at that point. But we don't believe that Joseph ever saw his son grow to manhood, and he certainly wasn't around when Jesus started his ministry. He never saw this. He never saw what kind of man Joe never saw what kind of man his son Jesus became. But he stayed focused on the calling that God gave him. He didn't know the end of the story. Here's the catch, though. We do know the end of the story. He didn't, and he walked in obedience, not knowing the end of the story, not knowing what it would all mean. And the story of Jesus becomes our story. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Russian writer who was a Christian, said it this way: only a small crack, the birth of Jesus, only a small crack. But cracks make caves collapse. The innocence of a little baby cracks our world. And that little baby grows up and turns the world upside down. And the world of darkness is gone and destroyed. The cave of sin is wrecked. It's destroyed. And that cave collapses. And God does have a plan. And his plan, ladies and gentlemen, his plan is us. It's you and me. I get to look at all your happy faces, but I'm just telling you, as you're looking at me, look at each other. God's plan is you. Emmanuel will redeem you. That's the plan. In a minute, we're going to have our little choir sing a song with Kirsten Kozel singing a part of it. She's going to lead it. And it's the song called Be Born in Me. This is what the chorus says. Be born in me, be born in me, trembling heart, somehow I believe that you chose me. I'll hold you in the beginning, you will hold me in the end. Every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem, be born in me. That's the prayer of Mary. So, my friends, God certainly has a plan. And this young couple, Mary and Joseph, they embrace that plan and they accept it. My friends here tonight, hear that plan of Jesus, for he wants to speak into your life. In Christ's name, amen.